chapter 20. I started this message last week. We got through my first point, which talked about living humbly. And, you know, the title of my message is, you know, being a godly influence. Be a godly influence. And so this is part two of be a godly influence. And so as we think about being an influence in our world, as we think about the call that all of us have as followers of Christ, again, we're following him not just so we get to heaven. We follow him so that we can make a difference in someone else's life, so we can make an influence in someone else's life. And so we're looking at being an influencer. But before we get into the Word of God, let's open up with a word of prayer and ask him to bless this time as we study his word. So would you pray with me, please? Father, how grateful we are to be called your sons and your daughters, to be a part of the body of Christ. And I pray this morning that we don't take that call for granted, that we truly do embrace the reality that with you we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to live for you. But we also live in this world. And we're thankful that we're in the world but not of the world. And God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us and enable us, Lord, to fulfill your will. Help us to be influencers, God, godly influencers, people that make a difference in someone else's life spiritually. So I pray that you would bless this time as we study your word. We pray that we would give glory and honor to you alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just as a bit of a review, when we're talking about being a godly influence, and the first point I talked about was living humbly. And, you know, when we think about our gifts and talents that God has given to us, I shared a quote last week that said this: one of the greatest abilities in the kingdom of God is availability. Availability. One of the greatest gifts in the kingdom of God is availability, to be available to God, to be available for his service, to be available to him in order to make a connection with another human being. I mean, living humbly. What has God done in your life? How has God shown you his grace? In what ways has God shown you his forgiveness by forgiving you of your sins? What strength has he given you when you found yourself in weakness? I mean, that's the reality, that God is at work in your life if you let him. He will use your life today if you'll just be available. How important being available is. See, we are to make ourselves humbly available. We don't want to be available for God to bring attention to ourselves. We want to bring attention to the Lord. So that was in verses 17 through 24, is the idea of living humbly. Paul was a humble man. He even said there that I served the Lord Jesus. He was a humble man, and he was a powerful man. He made a huge difference in people's lives. He saved them. But Paul knew that his gifts and his talents and his ministry was by nothing else than the grace of God. And so we have to come from that humble position whenever we serve God. It's for his glory, not our glory. For his glory. So that's what we saw in verses 17 to 24. So we pick up in verse 25 this morning. Read with me. It says, "And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. So as Paul is having this first recorded pastor's conference, we talked about that last week, how he drew the elders from Ephesus to come to him and he wanted to teach them. As he was drawing them, he first used himself as an example. He used his own life as an example to them of how he lived humbly, upon how he served the Lord faithfully. And he's encouraging them in that way. And that's what we do for one another, is to encourage each other as we seek after the opportunities that God gives to us. And here in the second section, not only is we living humbly, we have to live wisely. We have to live wisely. So Paul knows and understands the call on these men's lives, that there's going to be challenges, that there's going to be issues, that there's going to be struggles that they're going to come up against. That's just life. It's just part of life. We are living in a fallen world, a sinful world. And sinners do sinful things. And so Paul is trying to encourage them, be ready for this, be prepared. To live wisely means to live prepared. We have to prepare ourselves every single day for whatever may come. When you wake up in the morning, you thank God for another day. But you also say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us, provide for me what I'm going to need for today. For God, you know the future. He holds the future in his hands. And we need to follow his leading and his guidance. So he says, indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. When Paul is speaking to these elders of Ephesus, he's telling them, my life's coming to an end. My journey is coming to a close. And we still have got 8 more chapters to go, but Paul is prepared that he will never see these Ephesus elders again. And he wants them to know, you need to rely on the Lord Jesus. Your hope needs to be in him. So as Paul's life is beginning to come to a close, he's encouraging other lives to be faithful. And how important that is in our lives today. And I think about it for myself as I continue to get older, and I think about the younger men in my life, raising them up and encouraging them to walk with the Lord. Yesterday's devotion, there was a gentleman on there, and he was sharing his heart about his struggles and arguments that he was having with his spouse. And they're both believers, and they've had a tough marriage for a season, but now they're in a good place, but yet they still continue to fight. And it was my opportunity to minister and to remind this young man that his one job as a husband is to love his wife. I've always been amazed in the Bible that God says for husbands, you have one thing to do, love your wife. And for wives, you have one thing to do, submit to your husband, respect your husband. That one thing is enough. And to be able to remind this man to love his wife, so ministered to him. Again, it's in the Word of God. He probably knew it. He just needed to be reminded of it. And so living wisely means being prepared for whatever may come, knowing how to respond to different issues that may come up in your life. We're all learning to deal with this new life in a whole new way. How do we navigate these times? When we want to be able to go out, when we want to be able to connect with people, but we're just not sure. We're just not sure. Nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants to get anyone else sick. So we need to do a few things that are unusual and outside of our comfort zone right now for the good of everyone. And certainly we have the confidence in God. Our hope is in God, not in our government, not in the CDC. Our hope is in God and his provision and his protection in our lives. But we must live wisely in these days. And I love the fact that the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give him wisdom, and he'll give it liberally. I mean, who wouldn't say they lack wisdom? Oh, you might be wise in certain areas. You might be gifted in certain things. But when it comes to the wisdom of every area of life, we all lack that wisdom. And I love the fact that we don't have to work for it. I love the fact that we don't have to strive for it. No, it just says ask. Ask for wisdom. So maybe for you this morning, there's an area of your life where you're uncertain what to do, what choice to make, where to go, where not to go. Those are those times, and I'm telling you, you have to just cry out to God and say, God, I need your wisdom. Show me your wisdom. And then be still and wait for the answer. See, we want the answer to happen right away. We want God to respond immediately. But sometimes wisdom says, be patient. Sometimes God's wisdom says, I need you to just slow down a little bit here. So maybe for you this morning, there's something going on in your heart. Something that you've been thinking about, and you need God's wisdom. In fact, just yesterday, another pastor asked me, you know, what is God showing you during this time? What is God revealing to you during this time in the church and in our world with all the social distancing and having to wear masks and, you know, our church is open, our church is not open. And what I just keep hearing from the Lord is that he's in control. I'm not in control. He's in control. He's in control of these situations. And I can try and force my will. I can try and force what I want to see happen, or I can be patient and be ready to receive wisdom from God as to what to do next. And for now, I haven't heard any other instructions than keep doing what you're doing now. And encourage believers to do the same. You need to keep on doing what you're doing. Continue to be faithful to the Lord. Continue to be praying and asking him for wisdom. See, never get to a place in your life where you think there's no answer. Never get in the place in your life where you think, well, this is just too hard. No, God can do the impossible. God can do anything. And so with faith, we say, Lord, show us. And show us how and when to respond. So Paul says to these young pastors, you're not going to see me any longer. You won't see me face to face any longer. I may write you a letter, but you're not going to see me. And how important it is for us to realize that our connection is through Jesus Christ to God. Our connection to God is not through another person, not through another ministry. Paul is saying, listen, I'm teaching you and I'm training you, but I need you to rely on Jesus. Are you relying on the Lord? See, it's real easy to get wound up watching the news and hearing the numbers and hearing the frustration and hearing the arguments of either side. We just need to be steadfast. As the Bible says, steadfast, immovable. And that's what we're going to see the Apostle Paul say as well, that he's immovable when it comes to God, the things of God. You and I, notice he says in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul was so confident in his ministry. He was so confident in what he had done for the Lord by sharing the word of God, the entire word of God. Listen, we all need to hear the fact that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again, and our sins have been forgiven. We all need to have that foundational truth and reminder, which next week we're going to partake of communion as a reminder of what Jesus has done. It's good to be reminded of those things. But then moving on from the basics of our faith and understanding the entire Word of God. That's what drew me to Calvary Chapels. That's what draws most people to Calvary Chapels or churches like them that teach the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I'm thankful that I am, I don't want to say bound, but I'm desiring to teach the entire Bible. Not just sections, not just stories, not just little bits and pieces, not just the good parts, but the parts we all need to hear. The entire whole counsel of God. Listen, my friend, you need to know the whole counsel of God. You need to know the entire Bible to hide the verses in your heart. And I'm not saying memorize them, but have an understanding of who God is from Genesis to Revelation. To have a clear understanding in a general sense of who God is. And you need to teach that to your children. Here's Paul the Apostle saying, I taught you the entire Word of God. I've shared with you the whole counsel of God. Everything that God has given to us is written in His Word. And it's available to us if we'll spend time in it, if we'll read it, and if we'll share it with others. See, my friend the other day that was struggling in his marriage, you know, I could have told him some things to do. I could have said, hey, get your wife some flowers or go buy her a card, which are great things to do. But what he needed to hear was his call as a husband to love his wife. He needed to hear the counsel of God, the whole counsel of God. And so we as believers need to know the entire Bible. Your children need to hear the entire Bible. Teach your kids the Word of God. Teach them the whole counsel of God. What the tenets of our faith are. The hope that we have of heaven. The danger of walking in sin and not repenting. The reliance upon the Holy Spirit. The heart of a giver. We're going to see that in a second. That's what we're to be teaching each other. We need to teach that to our kids. We need to teach that to our friends. And we need to teach it to our enemies. Living the Word of God. Embracing the Word of God. Exercising our faith through the Word of God. I mean, isn't that where we get our sustenance? I mean, this is the resource that we have to help us get through life. That's living wisely. That's putting God first. So not only does he tell them, I've taught you the entire Word of God, but the wisdom comes from the next verse. Look at verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. There's two things in this verse. Number one, he says, take heed to yourself. In other words, pay attention to your own life. Pay attention to your own attitudes. Pay attention to your own character, your integrity. That's something we must do individually, is to pay attention to that. And Paul lived out loud. He paid attention to his walk. He paid attention to what he was doing and where he was going and who was guiding him there. It's very important for all of us to take inventory in our lives. To look at the activities that we participate in, to look at the attitudes that we may have about the world, about politics, about religion. And he's saying, take heed to how you live. As leaders, that's important. But I believe as Christians, it's important. As Christians, we're to live a life that points people to Christ. When people look at your life, do they see Jesus? When people look at your life, do they see the Word of God lived out? See, it's something that we must each do individually. Individually. Because effective leadership, to be an effective parent, means you have to live the things you're teaching your kids. I never liked the saying, do as I say, and not as I do. I never liked that. As a kid, I've heard, no, you just do what I say, don't do what I do. How much more impactful would it be? Do what I say and do what I do. Because these things need to be in our lives if we're going to be able to help other people. As I was sharing with that gentleman the other day about loving his wife, I was ministering to myself to love on my wife. I was reminding myself to love on my wife. So we have to internalize and look into our hearts and ask ourselves, am I representing Jesus the way I should? So pay attention to yourself, but also it says pay attention to the flock, which means to me, pay attention to others. You know, take heed to the flock, the ones that they're going to be overseeing, the ones that we're going to be pouring into, the ones that they're going to be teaching. And certainly this ministers to me personally as a pastor. But we're all leaders in some sense. You're a leader over someone. You're leading someone. And so pay attention to them. Pay attention to the people of God that God has put into your life, that the Holy Spirit has made you perhaps an overseer. Certainly, I speak to parents about paying attention to your kids, watching what they're doing, helping them, guiding them, helping them to think, you know, of God, helping them to think of spiritual things. Instead of being so focused on I don't know if it's technology or social media, so many things that we can be consumed with. But teach your kids. Take heed. Pay attention to them. See, as leaders, we need to feed the flock. We need to lead the flock. We need to protect the flock. Because look at the next thing in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, salvage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The Apostle Paul experienced this in his own life. He knew there were those that would come against him. And he knew very well that there were going to be those that are going to come against these Ephesian elders, these pastors in their churches. He's like, watch out. It's going to happen. Living wisely means being prepared for that. These things should not catch us by surprise. We shouldn't be surprised when someone looks at our faith and turns their nose up to it. You know, Jesus says, don't worry if they hate you, they hated me before. So it's living wisely, it's paying attention to what could possibly happen and to not give up. When you're prepared for tough times, when tough times come, you won't quit. That's the difference. We need to be prepared. It's something we must do beforehand, to be equipped for these issues. And he was telling them, watch out. There's going to be those that are going to come against you. And they're going to try to harm you. And he just tells them what they're going to do to them. But he doesn't give them anything, any retaliation. He doesn't tell them, so this is what you do to get back at them. No, if we're living humbly, then we're okay with being wronged. We're okay with being attacked. Because I believe if we act like Christ, who on his way to the cross was spit upon, was beaten, and did not say a word, why all of a sudden do we feel licensed to respond? Listen, God is a much better fighter of your problems than you are. Let God fight your battles. Paul was just telling them, be ready, they're going to happen. They're going to come against you. And not only from outside the church, but also from within, inside the church. And to me, that's probably the most difficult thing about walking the Christian life is when other Christians come at you. There's nothing that breaks my heart more than to hear two believers at odds with each other. And listen, we all deal with this. We struggle with this. You know, I've had people in my life that I used to love dearly, and now there's a wedge built between us. And that's not right. That's not the way it should be. We should agree to disagree, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. We're still the family of God. Paul said, be careful, because there's going to be those in your church that are going to come against you. So live wisely. Look at the third thing in verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, which is the believers. Verse 33, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, again, reminding you of what we're learning about being a godly influencer. Number one is to live humbly. Live humbly. Paul served the Lord humbly. We're to live wisely and understand the condition of this world and understand the condition of people's hearts. But in this section, the third point is to live generously, to always have a heart of generosity, no matter what's coming against. Listen, Paul just told them, you're going to have those that are going to come against you. But here he reminds, but don't forget to be generous. Paul uses himself as an example here, and he says, listen, you know very well that I coveted no one else's things. And the sin of covetousness can be very subtle. It can get in there, and you look at what other people have and you don't have. And there's this heart that gets built into you. Listen, I love nice things. But I constantly have to be putting my heart on the altar and saying, Lord, you know, this person has this. I really like what they have. I want that thing. And I struggle with that. I deal with that. And so it's a prayer. It's an attitude that says, Lord, help me to stay generous. Help me to be a giving and not always want to get. Listen, I don't know if you're going to be able to see it or not, but there's this quote that was said, the happiest person is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. There it is. The happiest person is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. Think about that. Think about that. What makes you happy? I've said this many times. You know, when you're young, you want so much stuff, so many things. You want a car that you got to keep clean and keep gas in. You want a house that you got to keep clean and mow the lawn. You want a lot of things when you're young. And my wife and I always minister to younger couples. Listen, this is just the stage of life that you're in. You want a lot of things, but when you get older, you want to get rid of a lot of things. You want less to have to maintain, to have to deal with. And so when you're happy, it's realizing that you need less in your life. Listen, God puts a need in us. God put a need in you. There's desires that you have. They're not sinful. But if they consume you, that's when it turns into covetousness. And I don't think there's any accident in between verse 33 and verse 35 where Paul says, I've coveted no one's things. And don't forget what the Lord Jesus says. It's more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. Can you imagine how it would be if we truly embraced those words? And thank God that the Apostle Paul brings that up here in Acts chapter 20, because it's not recorded in any of the Gospels. So this was a saying that Jesus had mentioned, and Paul heard it, and it ministered to his heart. It's more blessed to give than receive. See, it's in his Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, blessed are those who do this, this, or this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they shall see the kingdom of God. So all the blessings that Jesus taught on his Mount, Sermon on the Mount. But here we see the words of Christ that says, it's even more blessed. You're even more blessed if you give than if you receive. If you've been a generous person, you know the blessing of it. You know how wonderful it is to be able to give to someone else and see the joy they experience. God wants us to be givers. God wants us to be generous. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. one who gives out of love, one who gives out of a positive attitude, a good attitude. Such a blessing to see people that are truly gifted in generosity and trusting God to provide for us. See, it says it's more blessed to give than receive. That's a blessing to receive. And I know many struggle with that. There's nothing wrong with receiving good things. The question is, are we focused on that? Because if we're focused on getting, then we're not going to be a giver. And quite honestly, the answer and the solution to covetousness is generosity. So there's no mistake why Paul brings this up. Well, he brings up coveting versus giving. If you struggle with coveting, if you struggle with looking at what other people have, I encourage you, be a giver. Find ways to give. And that covetousness, that heart of wanting will go away because you will receive great blessings from God, great peace from the Lord, knowing that you've provided for someone else's needs. So living generously is so very important, so very important. And then the last thing, verse 36, and when they had said these things, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. You know, being a godly influencer, and it's very brief, but I think it's so important. The last thing is that we need to live prayerfully. We need to live prayerfully. Yes, their hearts were broken that they weren't going to see the Apostle Paul any longer. Yes, they were saddened that they were going to be separate. And that certainly is part of our issue in the world today, that we're feeling separate. Because we want to be together. We need that fellowship. We need that community. We need to gather together. That brings us encouragement. We love to be with friends, and we love to be with our families, and we love to be with our loved ones, and to be separate from that is a struggle. And so for them, they were saddened. But they kneel down, and they pray, and they thank God. He doesn't give us the prayer, but there's no doubt they were praying, Lord, thank you for the Apostle Paul. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul is thanking them for these elders and for these pastors that were going to be going back into their ministries, and to be able to spend that time praying together. It was just this week we were talking in one of our devotions, and the topic was on prayer. And it was a reminder to us that we can't look at prayer as just something that we tack on at the end. Prayer is not a small thing. Prayer is a powerful thing, right? Praying. You know, it says, the Bible says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So be a person of prayer. If you want to be a godly influencer, make sure you're embracing and make sure you're exercising prayer for yourself, for you and your spouse, for your family, your children, for your loved ones, for your coworkers, for your neighbors. Be a person known as a person that prays. See, the Apostle Paul was known as a preacher. Preacher of the gospel, one that would bring good news and one that was pouring into people, but he was also known as a man of prayer. Almost every single one of Paul's letters in the New Testament will say that at some point, I never cease to remember you in my prayers. And I am praying for you. Paul was a preacher, but he was a man of God by being a man of prayer. Let us be known. Let your life be known that you are a person of prayer. That you're a person that's not ashamed to get on your knees and pray to God, or to stop a conversation and say, let's pray. I learned this early on in my walk. I probably wasn't a believer for more than a few years. And there was a friend in my life that no matter what happened, it was always, well, let's pray about it. Well, let's stop and pray about it. If I would share a circumstance or a situation or even a struggle in my life, well, let's pray about it. And it taught me to be a person of prayer. Now listen, there's times when I forget. right? Sometimes I forget to pray. But I just ask God, this Lord, constantly knock on my heart and remind me that when someone's struggling, they don't need my wisdom. They certainly need your wisdom. But what they need right then and there is prayer. And that is one of the greatest gifts. When you talk about more blessed to give than receive, it is a great blessing to be able to pray over someone. If you've never done it, if you've never prayed with a stranger, or you never prayed with someone you ran into at the grocery store or the coffee shop or wherever, I encourage you. When they're sharing their hearts, when they're sharing what's going on in their life, just ask them. No harm if they say no. But just say, can I pray for you? You know, we can all say, I'll be praying for you. And that certainly we can do that, and we should do that. I'll be praying for you, and hopefully we do pray when we walk away. But to be able to say, can I pray for you right now? 99.9% of the time people say, sure. Even if they really don't want it, they're going to say they'll let you do it. And I ask, you know, I believe with all my heart that if you'll just stop and pray a prayer, Lord, I pray for this person. I pray that you would be at work in their lives. Give them peace. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart, the words don't matter. It's the heart of the prayer. To know that you care enough for whoever this person is that you're praying for, I'm telling you, at the end of the prayer, they're going to be like, thank you so much. That so blessed me. So to be a godly influencer means you got to be humble. But you got to be living wisely. You got to be ready for whatever comes in life. You have to be a person that's generous, ready to give, ready to serve, ready to do something for someone. Be generous. More blessed to give than receive. And finally, be a person known as prayer. Live prayerfully. Because I believe that we need more men and women in the world today that are willing to pray. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you became a person that was known by other people, that they could come to you and say, hey, pray for me for this. I have a friend that always texts me and says, I need you to be praying for this, because God hears your prayers more than he hears mine. To which I always respond, God loves you just as much as he loves me. He hears your prayers just as much as he hears mine. And it's a pleasure to be known as someone that will pray. So as we close this service, as we bring this area of text in chapter 20 to a close, let's ask God to make us godly influencers. Let's embrace the truths that we learn from this first pastor's conference as the Apostle Paul was pouring into these pastors. And let's ask God to help us be humble, be wise, be generous, and be prayerful. And with that, would you pray with me? And I want to ask God to bless you and bless your day and bless your life. So pray with me right now. Father God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that you've called us. For those of us who put our faith and trust in you, that call ourselves Christians, that you trust us, God, with your word, that you trust us, Lord, to pray for people, that you trust us, God, to be generous towards other people. God, equip us and give us the resources that we need to be effective influencers. That we would draw people to you, Lord. That we would truly be used by the Holy Spirit and used by the Lord Jesus and used by you, Father, in this world to encourage others, to embrace others, Lord, and always be ready to give an answer. And an answer that comes from the Word of God. I'm just so absolutely amazed, Lord, at your love. And I thank you for calling us to your family. I thank you for drawing us, Lord. Each and every one of us who has surrendered our lives to you has been drawn by you. And I know there are others, Lord, that you want to draw into the kingdom. And so we pray that you would help use us, Lord. Help us to live a life that would be appealing to those who don't know you, that they would have a desire to ask questions and to seek you, Lord. And then may we, just like the Apostle Paul commended them to the Lord Jesus. He gave them over to you, God, because they belong to you. May we do the very same thing. May we lead people to you, Lord, and may they hold on to you, the faithful one, the one who is always there, the one who never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and you will be the same forever. So we worship you here this morning. We praise you for your love for us. We pray that you would bless our day and equip us, Lord, for whatever is in store for this day. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor, for it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.